have the Department of Social Development's annual performance report, which also includes the report of the Auditor General on the financial statements and the performance of the department. Secretary, any apologies?
Yes, Chairperson, there's only one apology from the Minister who attended the Cabinet meeting today. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We only have that one apology. Honourable Members, let me just apologise for the delay in the meeting. The sustenance for us to start our meeting in the morning was late, but also for the alarm. It was just someone that tried to open a door that he was not supposed to. I'm saying he because I think it was a man. I'm a lighter note. But without wasting any more time, let me ask the Deputy Minister if she wants to make some opening remarks before I give over to the DG to do the presentation, or would she like to conclude at the end? Honourable Deputy Minister.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee, Portfolio Committee members, officials and colleagues, all stakeholders and media present, good morning. Sanbonan, Dumelang, Dimasheroni, Abshay, Molweni, Lochan, and Kuyemore. I also bring you warm and hearty greetings from the Minister of Social Development and conveying her apology for her inability to be here in person. She is attending the scheduled Cabinet Committee meeting. If I read in my Bible in Proverbs chapter 29 verse 18, it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. It is important to note that this year, the department in many years has been given a clean audit by the Auditor General. Our vision is to see a caring society and integrated system of social development services that facilitates human development and improve the quality of life. The work that we do every day is informed by this vision. The social development sector delivers its services in an environment marked by high levels of poverty, unemployment, and inequality, and we continue to achieve much during the 2012-13 financial year. The achievements of the 2012-13 year not only reflect our commitment to the creation of an inclusive and caring society, but also illustrates our determination towards protecting vulnerable groups, children, women, youth, and the elderly, including the victims of social crime and people with disability. Today, we will be presenting to you the annual performance report for 2012. The Minister and I are expected as per our performance to conduct 10 public participation programs. But we have far exceeded this number. We did 69 of them. This means we have greater numbers of interaction with communities and listening firsthand to the plight of our people. It is important for members to note that the presentation today is formatted as per the Auditor General's requirements. Therefore, we are not able to share the real impact of the work that has been done, but the officials will endeavor to give you a more detailed sense of the impact of the work done on the ground. In the fight against poverty and inequality, the department gained further impetus with the renewed extension of the social safety net. The social grants currently reach more than 16 million beneficiaries. This includes more than 11 million children benefiting from the child support grant and 2.8 million older persons benefiting from the old age grant. SASSA in GST program to reflect that they had re-registered a total number of 18.9 million people by 31st March 2013. This is made up of 8.4 million beneficiaries and 10.5 million dependents. During this process, 150,000 people came forward to voluntarily cancel their grants, resulting in a saving of approximately 150 million. In efforts to fight against alcohol and substance abuse, the Inter-Ministerial Committee on Substance Abuse recommended the approval of the Control of Marketing of Alcohol and Beverages Bill. The bill is aimed at restricting the marketing and promotion of alcohol beverages. The most noticeable accomplishment in this fight against alcohol and substance abuse in the year under review was the coming into force of the Prevention of the Treatment of Substance Abuse Act. Early childhood development remains the centerpiece of our goal of investing in the development of children as a primary means of improving human capital and reducing levels of intergenerational poverty. In this regard, we continue to conduct awareness campaigns for registration of ECD facilities and the placement of children on those facilities. We also developed a zero-drug program of action for ECDs 2012-2018 based on the CED action plan, which emanated from the National ECD conference held in the previous financial year. Civil society continues to play a vital role in the provision of social development services. To this end, the department implemented a number of initiatives, including capacity building of non-profit organizations. The department started to work on formulating a policy that will form the basis for amending the legislation governing NPOs. A number of series of provincial dialogues were hosted, which culminated in a national NPO summit in August 2012. The summit adopted a number of resolutions relating to the NPO sector and dealing with the legislative and regulatory frameworks. Of critical importance is the transformation of the welfare services sector funding and resource mobilization and capacity building and partnerships. The provision of care and support service to older persons remain essential services in the department. To this end, more than 180 residential facilities for older persons were registered. The South African Older Persons Forum also held its annual general meeting, which culminates in a revised constitution. Other achievements including the recognition by the president of centenarians in Mpumalanga and in KwaZulu-Natal. The department continues to implement community interventions which support and strengthen families. The notable achievement was the approval by different clusters of the draft white paper on families. The white paper will provide a formal policy framework for providing integrated services to families. The department continues to expand the services to the young people by training youth leaders under our National Youth Service. The first National Youth Leadership Camp was hosted in the Free State. The camp gave young people a unique opportunity to interact with and learn from their peers, thereby empowering them to shape their own future. More than 200 youth were trained to be leadership mentors. Youth pioneers participated in active aging programs and the Golden Games, which were held in Northwest during the period under review. The provision of food supply to those affected by hunger and destitution forms part of our efforts to address the problem of food insecurity. Together with Food Bank South Africa, the department provides food to more than half a million households throughout the country. This initiative will also ensure that the marginalized and poor households have access to diverse and affordable food. I am happy that actions have already been taken towards addressing some of the challenges highlighted by the Auditor General. I'll now give over to the officials to provide you with the detailed presentations. And thank you very much for the opportunity, Chairperson. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, Honorable Deputy Minister, for that introduction. It's really appreciated. Can I now give over to the DJ? And introduce your team of executives also that you have here, especially the one that we haven't seen for a long time.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Chairperson. And good morning, honorable members. My name is Dr. Bopaka, the Director General of the Department. I think before I just make a few comments before Mr. Thabane Buthelezi, takes us through the presentation, I would prefer that they introduce themselves because there are a few of them. I'm also not alone. I'm with the CEO of SASA, Ms. Virginia Peterson, at the back there with Diane Kelly as well from SASA. I think those are the two that I can recognize from SASA. Maybe I'll start with my colleague next to me.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, members. My name is Wayne Bango. I'm the special advisor to the minister.
Good morning. My name is Bongintu, Deputy Minister of Social Development.
Lumka Oliphant, Communications.
Morning, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. My name is Colin Jumalo, DDG Welfare Services.
Morning, my name is Peter Nechpari, Deputy Director for Integrated Development.
Morning, my name is Osborne Masilila, Chief Director, Office of the Director General.
Morning, my name is Benton von Frieder, Social Assistance.
Good morning, my name is Brenda Sireko, I'm the Acting DDG of Social Security.
Good morning, my name is Christopher Marawuzi, I'm from Monitoring and Evaluation in the Department.
Good morning, I'm Bongi Wetumezu Nindagumba from the Strategy Unit, DSD.
Good morning, my name is Rajesh Kachwayo, I'm also in the Strategy Unit.
Morning, my name is Takisi Bui. I'm coming from IT.
Dumela, Ina Langaki Abram Pasamushaka from the Ministry.
Morning, my name is Ingrid Ndravu, PLO, the Ministry.
Morning, my name is Gwen Nelson, Office of the Deputy Minister.
Morning, Anthony Brent from the Independent Tribunal for Social Assistance Appeals.
Morning,
Ronnie
from Financial Planning Unit. Morning, Kabani
Buteles, Social Development MND.
Morning, Clifford Apple, Acting CFO for Social Development.
Thank you very much. Honorable members, you will observe that for quite a number of few years, we haven't had a big delegation like we have today. We have been going through changes in the structures of the department, which is one reason I felt the senior managers, who most have just either assumed new positions or joined the department, it would help them to understand our core accountability, responsibility to Parliament, and also understand the issues and expectations at a political level. But the other reason is that, Chairperson, annual report presentation in Parliament is one of the key milestones that we have to go through every year, following the tabling of plans at the beginning of the financial year. And this year, I'm quite happy to announce to the committee that we have been able to comply with the statutory requirements for tabling the annual report, but also not only here in Parliament, but to the Auditor General. And the AG was happy with both our performance information as well as the financial information. Again, Chairperson, I want to draw the attention of the members to the fact that for a number of years we have had challenges relating to few very problematic areas, amongst which, as you know, we have had a lot of challenges relating to grant administration, the flow of fund issues, which kept nagging us in the reports as emphasis of matter from the Auditor General. There were also other matters relating to supply chain as well as to performance information. I'm happy to say that this year we managed to, for the first time, to secure a clean audit, which means we don't have an emphasis of matter. However, there are issues that we are still cleaning up, but some of the findings, all the findings by the Auditor General, let me say, were within the materiality limits, which then drawn the Auditor General to the conclusion that they are not material enough to affect his opinion on the financial statements of social development. The improvement is also quite visible in terms of the achievements on the target, as the presentation will indicate. And I want to say this again, that this is the collective effort and good working relationship that we have established between ourselves as a team in social development, as well as ourselves and the South African Social Security Agency on the grant administration side. I know that there will be time for SASA to come and present their annual report as well, which will also indicate the strides and efforts that we are putting in place to improve the management of public funds, as well as to improve service delivery to the poorest of the poor. Chatterton, with those few words, I would like to, with your permission, hand over to Mr. Thabane Buthelezi, who will take us through the presentation. Apologies for mistaking him with the DG of Human Settlement. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, DG. I guess the silence are both solo. Thanks, Chair, and to the Portfolio Committee for the opportunity given to us to come and present our annual report for the previous financial year 2012-2013. The outline of the presentation, the presentation as the report has five sections. I'll be taking you through part A up to part D, and my colleague, the acting CFO, Mr. Appel, will take you through the finances. I'll try and rush through some of the generic slides on the missions and statements, because I'm sure the portfolio committee members are familiar with this, so that I spend a bit of more time on the performance review section. The vision and the mission has not changed for the department. The strategic objectives, we've got I'll now move to the purpose of the programs, the five programs that you have in the department. Program 1 up to Program 5. Program 1 is to provide leadership and management support services to the department and to social development sector. Program 2 is social assistance. Program 3 is social security policy and admin. These are just the main functions of each program of the five programs that you have in the department. The part B now is where there's more interest. The purpose of this presentation is to inform, chair the portfolio committee members of the department's performance against its predetermined objectives for the period under review, which is the financial year 2012-2013, as well as to provide the state of expenditure of the department for the same financial year, which is 2012-2013 as well. I think it's important that we provide some contextual analysis to the report so that you have a better appreciation of our achievements. The social development sector, as we know, members of the portfolio committee, delivers its services in an environment marked by the triple challenges of poverty, unemployment, as well as inequality. And although as a national department you are tasked largely with the responsibility of formulating policies, but we also do render some direct services such as the registration of NPOs in this instance. Also, the department works with various institutions, and for us to be able to deliver in terms of our mandate, And some of these partners include other critical departments such as the basic education, the Department of Labor, Justice, Health and Rural Development, to mention a few. And we have partnered with them or entered into collaborations in a various number of services that you provide, for example, on issues affecting children, HIV/AIDS, older persons, victim empowerment, youth, and social security, as an example. So given this collaborative and interdependent nature of some of these departments, the department then ends up meeting some of its targets for if the other institutions have to meet their commitments as well. As a result of this, as a department, we do enter into a reprioritization process where in some instances, the department has to defer the implementation of some of its targets in light of the new ones. An example that you're citing here is the example of the Gwanda program, where we are to prioritize it so that we have we do more groundwork for the rollout on the new site. Coming to the annual achievement performance, the manner in which these slides will be presented, we try to link each and every program to the broader government outcome and how it links to and what then is the outcome, the DSD specific outcome, and then we're going to list the targets. I'll start with the social security, which is program 2. The first target, we wanted to extend the coverage of the child support grant, especially for 0 to 4 years, by 66%. The actual achievement was 65%. We wanted to increase the total number, secondly, of grant beneficiaries coverage by 15 million, as the Deputy Minister mentioned in her opening statement. We have achieved, by the end of the previous financial year, we had 16 million beneficiaries on different grant types. Thirdly, we also wanted to increase the old age grant beneficiaries from 2.8 million, and the actual achievement, of course, was 2.8. It was slightly above what we initially targeted. The increase of child support grant throughout to 11.4, and what we achieved was 11.3 million. And some of the reasons linked to the issues of the re-registration processes, but I'm sure once we enter into the questions and answer, some of my colleagues will provide much more detail. The program 3 is Social Security Police Administration. With regard to the appeals adjudication, as our target, we had wanted to adjudicate 90% of the appeals that we received at the department within the 90 days of the fit. And I'm sure the members of the portfolio committee appreciate the fact that some of these challenges are still continuing as a result of some of the details of the records that we are receiving. So the actual achievement in this is that it was only 46% that were able to be adjudicated within the 90 days. But I can assure the members of the portfolio committee that by the end of the financial year, all the appeals that have been received under that year have been adjudicated. Program 4 is welfare services. The first program, there are number of services, a number of programs within the welfare services that we will be looking at. At first is service standards and service provider management support. Our first target there was the appointment of commissioners to head the inquiry into the state of welfare services by end of March 2013. And the actual achievement is that the Minister's Committee to review the implementation of the white paper for social welfare services has been approved and inaugurated by the Minister. The second target is that we wanted to award 798 scholarships to social work students, which was going to raise all the scholarships that we have to 4,750. The actual achievement was at 2,000, which is almost three times more than what we had targeted. New scholarships were awarded for the 2012 academic year, and the number then had increased to 6,333. And some of these reasons for this over increase was that many students were identified during the outreach programs that we still embarking on as a department. And the surplus funds were available from the previous financial year, which was 2011-2012 financial year. Continuing with the service standards and service provider management support, we are targeted to facilitate the approval of policy on social services profession and occupation. And this policy was finalized but has not been approved. But in addition to that, 9 provincial consultations on the policy have been held between July and August 2012.
on services to older persons still under the welfare program. We are targeted to register 90 community-based care and support services for older persons, and there was 14 additional from our target that we had been able to achieve, as 104 community-based services to older persons were registered. The second target under older persons, we wanted to increase the number of older persons benefiting from community-based care and support services to 1,450, and the actual achievement was 35,187 other persons benefited from this. This is a result of DSD increased footprints and through various initiatives, especially when it comes to community outreach programs, because as the ministers and the deputy minister and officials engage with various communities, especially in the rural areas, we identified quite a number of other persons that require some of this, and so they benefited from this without having to stick on the initial target. With regard to the services for people with disability, we are targeted to approve the policy on social development services to people with disability by August 30, and this was achieved and approved. On services to children, we wanted to increase the number of children that were accessing the early childhood development programs up to the school going age by 10%, and we had achieved an additional 5%, and 15% was achieved by the end of the period under review. We had secondly wanted to increase the registered partial care facilities by 10%. In this, we only achieved 5%. This was due also as a result of the registration compliance issues, as we wanted to register the partial care facilities. Still under children, we wanted to conduct a comprehensive audit of 5,487 ECT and initial 6,216 were registered, were audited in all the provinces by the end of the financial year 2012-2013. Still under children, chair and the portfolio committee members, we had wanted to increase as a target the number of children accessing adoption centers, adoption services by 5%, and we have achieved 58% by the end of the financial year under review. And this comprised of 1,522 national adoptions and 174 inter-country adoptions that constitute the additional 63%. We wanted to increase the number of children in foster care by 10%, and the actual achievement was 31% of the number of children were put under foster care. We also wanted to increase the number of children accessing drop-in centers by 15%, and we had overachieved by the number of children accessing drop-in centers under the period, in the period under review is 450%. Still under children, we wanted to increase the number of children accessing child and youth care centers by 11%, and we had 123% in achievement under this strategy. We had targeted to screen 4,000 employees working with children against the Child Protection Register Part B, and 32,935 employees working with children screened were screened against the Child Protection Register. Now to services to families, we had a target to build capacity for implementing the integrated parenting framework in all the provinces, and this was achieved. But the five provinces where the capacity was built in five provinces in the year that we are reporting on, because the other four were achieved in the previous financial year, which is 2011-2012. Secondly, under families, we wanted to facilitate the approval of the white paper on families, and this was finalized and was due to be presented to Cabinet in May 2013. We had also, under families, wanted to target as our target, we wanted to implement research recommendations of effectiveness of families, and as part of that implementation of the research, the concept paper of families was developed using the recommendations that emanated from that research project. Under social crime prevention, the target was to train 360 practitioners and service providers in the integrated social crime prevention strategy, accreditation of diversion services, as well as the minimum standards. On the two programs, we were able to provide training, as we were able to reach 369 practitioners. And when it comes to the training on the minimum norms and standards, this was achieved in the previous financial year.
Secondly, under social crime prevention, you wanted to monitor the, we are targeted to monitor the implementation of the National Integration Social Crime Prevention Strategy Action Plan by all provinces, and this was achieved, with only the exception of Free State, and the reason that they cited was that there were financial constraints for them to implement and monitor the integrated social crime prevention strategy. Likewise, we also, under social crime prevention, were targeted to monitor the implementation of the social crime prevention program, and in all the provinces this was achieved, with an exception of Western Cape, for exactly the same reasons as I have mentioned previously, which are the financial constraints. Under social crime prevention, we also wanted to draft the legislation on victim empowerment services, and the zero draft bill on victims empowerment services has been developed as we are reporting. On victim empowerment services, we are targeted to facilitate the implementation of gender-based violence prevention program in 9 provinces, and this was done in the fourth quarter. The approval has been obtained from the Deputy Director General. And we also targeted develop and pilot accreditation system in 13 shelters. Here, this was done, but only in the 4 shelters in the period under review. Still under victim empowerment, we are targeted to implement the generic size of indicators in 3 provinces. And this was done, and all the national JCPS classified departments implemented the indicators in the previous financial year. Under substance abuse, Chair and Honourable Members, we wanted to facilitate the implementation of the National Anti-Substance Abuse Program of Action in all the provinces. And Limpopo, Mpumalanga, Northern Cape and Free States were capacitated to implement this action, this program of action. And we are targeted under substance abuse to finalize and facilitate the approval of the regulations for the prevention and of the prevention of and treatment for substance abuse. Act number 7 of 28, and this has been done, and the act has been proclaimed by President and came into force in March 2013. Still under substance abuse, we are targeted to facilitate the approval of the treatment model and build capacity for its implementation, and this has been approved, and the capacity in that implementation was built in all the provinces. We had also targeted to develop a social mobilization strategy to facilitate implementation of the anti-substance abuse, which was done, developed and approved as our achievement. Thirdly, we wanted to facilitate the approval of the National Drug Master Plan, and the Drug Master Plan was developed and is waiting approval by Cabinet. For services under youth, Honorable Chair and members, we wanted to train 150 youth mentors by end of the financial year, and 209 youth mentors were trained. The second target under youth services, we had wanted to provide, to target 300 youth to participate in community dialogues, and 2,216 youth participated in youth dialogue. As a result of our increased footprint to communities, we engage and interface with a number of people, especially the young people. We are targeted under youth as well, 3 provinces to implement the international programs, and this was achieved in Mpumalanga, Limpopo and Northern Cape. We had fourthly targeted 1,000 young people to attend leadership camps, and an additional 341 attended over and above the 1,000 that we had targeted. We had targeted finally under youth to enter these non-provincial youth camps. Unfortunately, this was only attained in Free State and KwaZulu-Natal, and because of the realization that the process of establishing the provincial youth camps is much more lengthier and it requires quite a lot of consultations, and this needs to be developed from the district level before it moves to a provincial level. So it's underway. When it comes to HIV-AIDS-related services, we wanted to target, the target was to reach 27 wards through social and behavioral change, and we had reached 435 by end of the financial year, where we have targeted to train 500 youth to render social behavior change programs related to HIV and AIDS. We were able to reach an additional level over and above the 500, so we had reached 511. We have targeted also to facilitate sister community conversations on HIV and AIDS, and we were able to reach 84 by end of the financial year.
still under HIV and AIDS, we have targeted foreign and AIDS-funded HCPC, or home community-based care organizations, to implement social and behavior programs, and we are able to reach 1,010 of them, which is more than double what we have targeted. We wanted to provide psychosocial support services to less than 500,000, which is 442,112 targeted households, and we're able to reach just over 500,000 of these targeted households. We have targeted, Chair and Honourable Members, to provide psychosocial support to 30,850 youth targeted households, and here we reach almost three times more than what we have targeted. We had also targeted to provide 90 home community-based care organizations with management training, and here we will reach 156, which was more than what we have targeted. Still under HIV and AIDS, 258 SPC were to be targeted to report in accordance with an M&E system, and 321 were actually reached. We wanted to make sure that we targeted the 605-funded home community-based care organization comply with minimum norms and standards, and 651 by end of the financial year are complying with the minimum standards, with the minimum norms and standards. We are targeted also to facilitate the strengthening of 9 provincial and 8 disease coordinator structures, and the actual output there is that 42 disease coordinator structures and 251 local coordinator structures are facilitated, so we have overachieved here by 286. On the last program, 5, which is program 5, social policy and integrated services, service delivery. On the first program here is social policy research and development, where the first target was to train officials in social policy making analysis, and the actual achievement was that 55 senior officials, including parliamentarians, were trained in social policy making and analysis. Still under social policy research and development, we have sought to develop and review one policy in cooperation with the development. So here there was overachievement as various policy documents, they've got titles that are included here, were developed and they were policy reviewed that were undertaken under this program. The program or the special projects on innovations, where we wanted to create 187,000 EPW job opportunities through social sector sub-programs. Here, the achievement as coordinators in this sector, we have recorded that 171,688 job opportunities have been created under this sector. Through the EPWP program, we wanted to extend community work program to 251 sites, and initial 548 sites were reached as a result of the 6 sites that have been merged with the others. So we have reached all the sites that you wanted. It's just that there was a merger of some of the sites from 151, and now we have 148 sites. Population policy promotion, the target was to train 300 people on integration, on integrating population factors into development. Here we are able to reach 394. We wanted to conduct 9 capacity building sessions, and an additional 3 from the target was reached, and 12 capacity building sessions were conducted by end of the financial year. We wanted to produce 10 thematic research reports on progress made with implementing population policy and the ICPD program of action in South Africa, and instead of the 10, 13 thematic research reports were produced. On the program for the registration and monitoring of the non-profit organization, the target was to develop an NPO online registration system, and the online web-based NPO registration system was developed in the year we are reporting on. We had also targeted to facilitate the approval of amendments of the NPO regulatory framework, and the draft policy framework document for amending the NPO Act has been finalized by end of March 2013. Still under the NPO program for its registration and monitoring, we wanted to adjudicate 80% of NPO appeals within the 3 months of receipt, and 80% of these appeals were adjudicated within the 3 months as we have targeted, and still under the NPO program, we targeted to train 200 provincial officials on NPO governance and the NPO Act, and the 250 officials were targeted and provided training on the two areas of NPO governance as well as the NPO Act. On community development program, we were targeted to train 580 community development practitioners on integrated development planning and the use of the sustainable level toolkit, and the output is that 673 CDPs were trained. We also targeted to build community development capacity of 300 community-based organizations, and we reached an additional 158 beyond the target. So we have 458 that we reached by the end of the financial year. Still under community development, and honorable members, we are targeted to develop a draft community development occupational framework and two community development personal levels, namely the community development worker and the community development assistant practitioner with scope and profile, and this form part of the draft occupational framework that we have produced by end of the financial year. We are targeted to facilitate the establishment of a community development association, and a draft code of conduct for community development practitioners has been developed, and it is meant to serve as a guide for effective functioning of community development association. Under sustainable livelihood, we have targeted to profile 200,000 households in 100 wards, and 187,703 households were profiled by end of the financial year. We wanted to place change agents in 100 wards, and the change agents were placed in more than 100 wards, as we are able to place them in the additional 26, which is 126 in total. We had targeted to mobilize 100 communities in 100 wards, and 860 communities as a result of our increased footprint and the ministerial outreach programs, 806 communities in 44 wards have been mobilized. We wanted to promote equitable access to food by 200,000 households, and 500, just over 500,000 households were able to access food security through the Department of Development as well as the Food Bank South Africa. The PACSI now, Honorable Chair, is in relation to the international organizations. As a department, we do have international obligations, and we are members in various associations, or we have other multilateral and bilateral as well that have signed in different countries. So I'll take you through this very shortly and then move to the last section. In support of Africa's foreign policy goals, DSE plays an integral role in promoting the country's social development agenda, national as well as international. The department is an active member of the AU, the SADC, as well as the UN structure, which includes, among others, the UN Commission on the Status of Women. Also, during the reporting period, DSE participated in the 19th International AIDS Conference, the United Commission on the Status of Women, and the International Interministerial Conference on Evidence for Action. The department also participated in high-level post-millennium development goals contact group meetings that were convened by the Japanese Ministry of Foreign Affairs. Also, the department continued to play a leading role in promoting the social dimensions of NEPAD in the UN Commission for Social Development on behalf of the Africa Group as well as the G77. The Department of Development actively participated in the organization of the OECD, the ESA, as well as the International Social Services. The department, under international obligations in the period under review, facilitated 5 agreements with the following countries: Uganda, Benin, Bulgaria, Jamaica, as well as Lesotho. Also, the department also engaged in technical exchanges with 14 countries, which among others include Botswana, Brazil, Ghana, Lesotho, India, Mexico, Ethiopia, South Sudan, as well as United Arab Emirates. Also, the departments continue to serve on board of partners in publishing and development. All these initiatives provide a platform for sharing social development experiences and expertise, and they provide an opportunity to help create a better South Africa and a better Africa, as well as a better world. In terms of the summary of our performance, Honorable Chair and members, I want to say the department in the period under review, 2012-2013, achieved 61% of its predetermined targets, and while the remainder, 39%, is 29% from the partially achieved, as well as the 10% where we have not achieved at all. And the reason for non-achievements include, for example, dependence, as I've mentioned in my contextual analysis at the beginning of the presentation, is that we rely on mainly some of our programs to be provided and delivered through our engagement with various institutions as well as other government departments who also have their own other commitments. I will share with you some of the challenges very, very briefly in some of the key areas, and some have dependence on other factors such as the cabinet. Some of the key reasons for non-achievement in particular, which is the 10% of targets, were beyond the departmental control, and these include, for example, with regard to the establishment of the Department of Social Security, Cabinet had recommended that the current social security institutions be restructured in order to improve coordination amongst them. Secondly, with regard to the policy on retirement reform, Cabinet has recommended that further consultations should take place before the policy is finalized. Thirdly, the department formed a unit tasked with establishing an inspectorate for social security. However, it's hampered by lack of internal capacity. Also, the department revised its approach to this project to first create a requisite internal capacity. And some of the challenges related could be allocated among three categories. For example, when relates in relation to resource limitations, the provincial order persons parliaments were not convened in some of the present due to limited resources and logistical challenges in the provinces. Also, there were issues of capacity constraints, especially when it comes to the NPO, as the department could not process all NPO applications for registrations within 60 days due to increased number. For example, in the current financial year 2012-2013, we have received about 400 more applications, which is different as we compare it with other previous financial years. The other challenges vary as well. On provision services, the professionals was not approved due to extensive interpretation processes and the stakeholder interest. And the finalization of the white paper on families was delayed by the extended consultations. In terms of the Part B, as I close, which is the legislative program, the department in the period under review has no bill submitted to Parliament during the year under review. I'll now want to thank the Chair and wish to hand over to my colleague, Mr. Clifford Appel, to take us through the financial expenditure. Thank you.
Good morning, members. I'm going to take you through the report of the expenditure for 2012-13. In terms of our total expenditure for the year, we've spent 111.1 billion or 99.08% of our budget. In terms of the program expenditure, on program one, we have spent 255.3 million of our 257 million, and that equates to 99.33%. Program two, mainly the grants part, we've spent 103.9 billion or 99.06%. In program three, social security policy and administration, we spent 6.1 billion or 99.78%. Welfare services, policy development, implementation support, we spent 502 million or 95.73%. On program 5, we spent 260.3 million or 99.47%. And in total, we've spent 111.1 billion or 99.08%. Just some of the reasons for the under-expenditure. In terms of program 1, the 0.67 underspend was mainly due to staff turnover and efficiency savings on traveling, accommodation, furnishings and facilities. Program 2, with social assistance, the 0.94, the 989 million, is mainly due to the lower uptake in social grants and also the impact of the re-registration process. Social security policy administration, The underspend of 0.22 or 13 million is mainly due to the finalization of planned projects and then the establishment of the inspectorate. Program 4, the underspend of 4.27% or 22 million was mainly due to the finalization of planned projects for the early childhood development audit. In Program 5, the 1.3 million or the 0.53% underspend was mainly due to funded vacancies and related operational costs. In terms of the summary on the economic classification, in terms of compensation, we have spent 291 million or 96.95%. Goods and services, we spent 297.4 million or 91.69%. Transfers and subsidies, we spent 110.5 billion or 99.10%. And in terms of capital assets, we spent 81.96%. In terms of programs administration, we spent 255 million or 99.3%. In the economic classification for administration, on compensation we spent 98.84% or 113 million. In terms of goods and services, we spent 116.8 million or 99.95% of our total budget. Transfers and subsidies, we spent 157,000. Capital assets, 8.3 million or 98.13%. And the total administration was 99.33% expenditure. Mainly, as I mentioned, due to the turnover of staff and slow filling of vacant funded posts. Program 3, social assistance, we spent 103.8 9 billion or 99.06%. In terms of the economic classification, it's mainly the transfers of grants, and we spent 103.9 billion or 99.05%. The expenditure is mainly driven by beneficiary numbers, the application process and grant values, which is linked to economic factors, policy changes, payment model efficiency and the CPI inflation rate, and the saving on the unpaid grants mainly due to the very rich. Program 3 is the social security policy, 6.1 billion or 99.78%. In terms of the economic classification, compensation, we spent 34.7 million or 83.85%. Goods and services, we spent 42 million or 88.16%. Transfers and subsidies, we spent 6.1 billion or that's almost 100% of the budget. Assets, we spent 619,000 or 41%. In total, we spent 99.78% of the budget. Underspending mainly on the compensation, it's the turnover of staff and slow filling of the vacant fund post. The and goods and services, which issues on the delay of the harmonized assessment tool project, the disaster mitigation project that could not be implemented in the SM process. Program 4, welfare services, we spent 502.6 million or 95.73%. Compensation 78.5 million or 99.38%. Goods and services we spent 98.4 million or 82.53%. Transfers and subsidies we spent 324 million or 99.98%. Capital we spent 1.2 million or 55% of our budget. In total, we spent 95.73% in the program. The underspending goods and services mainly on the postponement of the research project to develop R1 million, late appointment of a service provider for the development of the VEP database, the delay in the procurement of electrons for the IGS project, and the delays in the appointment of the service provider for the ECD audit. That actually happened in this financial year, Jefferson. Program 5, we spent 260.3 million on 99.47%. In terms of the economic classification, compensation, we spent 99.5%. Goods and services, we spent 14 million or 99% of the budget. Transfers, we spent 171.5 million or 99.89%. In capital, we spent 681,000 or 66.9%. In total, we spent 99.47 of the budget in the program. Thank you, Jules.
Thank you very much, honorable members. As I indicated earlier on, I think we can perhaps entertain the discussion. There are colleagues from various programs here who will be able to assist in tackling some of the questions that the members might have. But as I indicated, overall assessment is a positive report, which I think some of the areas, for instance, where the CFO or acting CFO has indicated around underspending. If you look at, for instance, personnel, we have looked at the overall performance of government in general. It has been a significant improvement. That includes our department in terms of the vacancy rates that are still within the 10% standard. That's an area that we will be improving, because one of the things that affects the vacancy rates, issues of restructuring, when you have a creation of new posts, then you have to go through that process of recruitment. That adds over and above your normal natural attrition, where you have people coming and going in the organization. There are other areas, I think, that are not too much significant, but in terms of the major focus and major priorities, we've tried to exert a lot of effort and resources to make sure that we tackle those. With those comments, Honorable Chair, I think I can say from our side, we will then await your direction.
No, thank you, DG, and also the Honourable Deputy Minister and the presenters of the presentation. Honourable members, I'm going to open the floor. Questions, Honourable Taba and Honourable I've noticed just the aspects I can see from I've noted all the honourable members. So I'm going to go down the row. Honourable Pula, what's your hand up?
Yes.
Okay. Before I give over to Honourable Gaba, I just have two questions. When I look at the annual report, especially at your targets versus your annual achievements and your performance, you are exceeding most of your targets. Now, you can make two assumptions, even more if you want to. One would say that you are extremely enthusiastic as a department. That is why you've exceeded your targets. Or you're extremely poor planners. Or there could be various other reasons. Because in some cases, you've overtaken your own target set by 50%. Now, I think you should explain that to the committee. Why? Why 2012 and when you actually your target was to reach, if I can look at page 33, just one example. I've even looked at the slide on sustainable livelihoods, where to reach 27 wards for social and behavior change interventions, and 435 wards were reached. So only 435. Why the huge increase? Even the issue of the special programs in the minister and deputy minister's program. In your budget, your target was 10 programs, but there were 50 programs that was rolled out. Facilitate 60 community conversations on HIV and AIDS, and you have 84 community conversations. So it seems to be a trend throughout your strategic plan. That this is happening. The second question I have is the issue of the Social Security Inspectorate. That you plan for it, you plan for. I think we had discussions on it in the 2011-2012 financial year. You got money from Treasury in 2012-2013, but not much has happened. The Social Security Inspectorate. Social Security, yeah. So what's going to happen to that money which you haven't spent? And I think the reason that you give us is when we were serving their life was the lack of capacity in the department. So if you have a lack of capacity, you usually buy in the expertise in yourself. So can you explain to the committee why you didn't do that? And are you busy with that process? Where is that process now? Where is it laying now? And I think what you, towards the end, why you haven't achieved all your targets, you need that explanation. Because you've only achieved a certain percentage of your targets, even though in some cases you've overachieved your targets. So we need an explanation of that. You did receive a clean audit, which is commendable. But those funds, the State President Fund, they're like that. they were established for a good cause. But what are you going to do about them? Because every year we ask you the same question. And I know that there's the Auditor General said there's a fund that falls under the same piece of legislation in the Defence Force, in the Department of Defence. So maybe DG, you can tell us at government level, is the interaction around that and what is hampering the fact for you to deactivate what is hampering the department to deactivate those funds? Yeah. Okay, let me stop there and you'll give over to Anna Gaba. The floor is yours.
Thank you, Chairperson. the presentation from the department. And Chairperson, my question is in page 15, slide 29. The target facilitates implementation of the National Anti-Substance Abuse Program of Action in all provinces. But my worry, Chair, this program is too selective because they mention only four provinces were capacitated to implement the anti-substance abuse program of action. So my worry, because I'm from location where the drugs, abuse drugs are the most in the community. I can mention hotspots where drugs are sold, like peanuts and sweets in Rodibodi Chair. So I want to understand why Gauteng province is not mentioned in this program, because all the time when we are here, we are crying as people who come from Gauteng province about the drugs abusing our children there in Gauteng province. But when it comes to capacitated, it's only four provinces, which is Limpopo, Mpumalanga, not the Cape and Free State. I don't know why they jump up to Gauteng, Limpopo to Free State. They leave us like that, which means our children, they are fine to being abused by the drugs. Thank you, Chair.
That's very strong. DG, irrespective, there still seems to be problems in terms of procurement and streamlining of it, and misalignment of what you spend versus, you know, your achievements. Because if you're able to only achieve 61%, but you spend most of your budget, 99%, I just want to ask if, I mean, do you have any plan in place to try and rectify this? And Chairperson, I think I will follow after the members. I've got questions in all three books, so I want to align with that.
Honourable Waters, I'm going down the row. Honourable Waters.
Thank you, Chair. Thanks for the presentation. I won't ask the questions on missing of the targets, because I think it's been asked by previous members. But just on, if you look at page 60 of the presentation that you gave us today, under Program 2, the reason for the underspending in social assistance is due to page 60 is lower than expected beneficiary uptake. Yet if you look at slide 13, it says there that the total number of beneficiaries is 16.1 million, slightly more than originally projected. So, you know, what is it? Is it slightly more or slightly less? Because you contradict yourself in your own presentation. And if you do look at the financials on page 149 of the annual report, the underspending of nearly 1 billion rand, I'm not sorry, 148, in social assistance is very concerning. While you have spent 99%, the fact that 1 billion rand was underspent is of great concern, considering the fact that more beneficiaries actually registered than what you anticipated, if you look at page 13 of the slide. And also, we were also informed as a committee that there's about 2 million children throughout the country that are not accessing child support. Yet, you know, we've underspent by 1 billion rand. So can we have an explanation about that, please? And then just on page 150 of the annual report, if you look at 4.5 on the page under children, what is the reason for the high underspend there as far as children are concerned? You only spent 71% of the budget for current payments. Could you give us some indication what the reasons are and what those payments are meant for? Thank you. Thank you, Chair.
Waters, on the book of Marlo.
Asibongele umnyango ke ngokuthola umbiko omuhle. Hlalo, umbuzo wakho wokuqala uthathe umbuzo wami, kodwa ngifisa ukwengeza ngokuthi uma ngokuqonda kwami i-target iyayihambe ne-budget, akuyichaphazelini i-budget ma isiyeqiwe ngale ndlela owe washo ngawo sihlala ukuthi ingathi yeqiwa kakhulu.
wonke ama-target enziwe iyabonakala ukuthi ilokhu iba nayo into yokufwela akwenzeki nithinteke ibhajethi uma i-target isiyeqeke ngokungaphezulu.
Okwesibili kesihlalo okade epresenta lapho unikeze kupage 19 slide 38 inamba yemsebenzi abakwazi ukuyithatha njenge-department ezibonakala-ke nokho inamba iyinhle ibongeka ukuthi cha bakwazile ukuthi basikhandele imisebenzi kodwa umuntu kunokufisa nje ukwazi ukuthi ngabe le msebenzi iyephilisa yona mhlawumbe ukuthi iphilisayo usho ukuthi imisebenzi ezokwazi ukubeka abantu ekutheni banemsebenzi e-permanent uma ingekho abantu ingama-contract mhlawumbe futhi ifocuse kweziphi iy'nhlaka zasekuhlaleni abantu besifazane abantu abasha noma ivulekile nje kuwo wonke umuntu. Ngiyabonga.
Thank you very much, Honorable Komaro. Honorable Magakula.
Dear teacher, I think, Chairperson, you steal our question. You steal our question. But nevertheless, Chairperson, we dwell much on that question about the achievements and the targets. If you can look page 11, slide number 4, welfare service children, it says screen 4,000 employees working with children against the Child Protection Register, RPRP. And then that is when you look the achievement, it's far more, it's extremely more, because it said now 32,935 employees working with the children. So that is, doesn't affect the budget. And if it affects the budget, how can you maneuver on the question like this? And it also, number of the slides, you'll find that the target is extremely, the achievement is extremely beyond the target. So why and does it affect this the financial constraint? I thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable.
Thank you, Chair. I certainly won't make the comment that the question was stolen, but I'll elaborate in certain areas of concern. Chair, I think that firstly the Deputy Minister has indicated that, the targets were 10 programs and we had delivered over 69 programs. Now it could be one out of two things is that you're getting value for money, and you could see that the department's AG comments has been very, very favorable on the department delivering on its mandate, and we want to commend them for that. Having said that, Chair, the issue of the CPR, if my memory reads me correct, I know the in some presentations it recorded that, there were about over 400. And in the annual report, 64, you're reporting 281. Could you perhaps elaborate on that discrepancy? Secondly, the integration. What is the progress in terms of the integration with regards to the Department of Home Affairs and the SAPS, etc.? What's the progress at the moment? Chair, you've spoken on the inspectorate. you tell me with regards to the partial deliverance of 29% and non-deliverance of 10%, the findings of the AG, will it provide any solutions to rectify or perhaps allow you to deliver on these areas of, I won't say negligence, of shortcomings? The registration of the NGOs, particularly, perhaps maybe you could elaborate on the issues of the registration of the faith-based organizations in some of the provinces that would be assisting with regards to the issues of dealing with substance abuse. I know in KwaZulu-Natal it was reported that that was, you know, abeyance waiting to be registered. Has that been concluded? And here lastly, I think that as the Deputy Minister indicated, and I would persistently raise in the committee about the issues of drugs, and we must laud the efforts of the department and the Deputy Minister and the Minister, you know, that the progress of the rehabilitation centers in KwaZulu-Natal is ongoing, and, you know, it gives us immense joy to see that the department is delivering accordingly. And, of course, it's not just only about no vision. It's about true leaders, and true leaders would definitely add value, and we want to thank you for the development. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. You see, I just want to tell the Deputy Minister, you see, all this training really paid off. It was solicited by DSG, so we said DSD, so we said thank you very much. You can see that members are giving real attention to the annual report. In terms of understanding the issues, can I give over to Honourable Thoma?
Thank you so much. Let me just say to the department, Uba bendise mambodweni ngendisithi halala. The improvement that the department has made out there, as we have undergone a course of evidence-based policy, whereby you just check for the evidence before you say this is wrong and this is right. What the department has done, especially Mambondweni Chair, when the Minister went there for her program, listening from the people, when the people were saying, Yaqela Minister, and the Deputy Minister, no, Mama ka women. They left Abantu, Behlela, and they were very happy for what she came there and did. The work of all SASA is for you to employ one of the beneficiaries of the victims of Marigana on behalf of the people from Poland. There's a boy there who has been employed by SASA. She passed school, she couldn't go to school anymore, and the intervention of the department has changed the lives of those people. For me, it's not really a question, but it's just to throw a comment, and then the department will think of how can you come around this. In Poland, there is just a very serious issue of brutal killing of elders. They are raped, they are killed, they are the witchcraft thing and all that. It's becoming common everywhere in Eastern Cape. And if the intervention of the department can be a little bit harder, I think there is a chance that can be done. There's still this substance abuse. There are still those provinces close to the schools, close to churches, close to everywhere. I think the department has to strengthen that, just to assist those poor communities there. And the ECD centers, again, of course, the policies are talking, we can see, we can hear. But there are still those smart ECD centers which are there, which are not serviced, we don't get, which doesn't even get assistance. But what I would just request the department is to open the doors so that we can talk and we can tell you where actually this is happening, rather than discussing here with no solution, so that even the officials can just go there and see what is actually taking place and assist if ever the department can. As the issue of the rehab centers and the old age home, I'm just throwing it, Chair. I'm not saying anything. I will get a reply one day. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Honorable woman, can we go over to the report and just respond to the question?
Chairperson?
Can
I ask the question? Yes, it's not so much. On the actual report, the book itself, on page 21, under violence. I see there has been a lot of shift. If you look at program 5, basically to fund the community outreach program activities that was run by the minister and the deputy minister. So there is a lot of money. If you check program 5, if you check another 10.3 was shifted, 7.5 was shifted towards the same goal. So I just wanted to ask, for instance, where 10.3 was shifted under compensation of employees, didn't this affect the HR human resource capacity of the department? Because in a lot of instances, page 21, on the actual, not the slides, the actual, if you found it, okay. A reason of capacity has been cited so many times along, you know, the whole presentation. So I wanted to know, I mean, couldn't, not that the community outreach programs were not, you know, so important, but, I mean, didn't it affect that? And when it comes to the Soul City and the Wildest Bay programs, what were the reasons for the increase? I mean, was it really necessary? And then when it comes to CARA, your criminal asset recovery unit, account, sorry, there have been applications for this fund and only 71 were shortlisted. What is the criteria? What makes people qualify for the funds? And then on this one, the NDA, on page 77, okay, it reads that the system of internal control was not entirely adequate or effective during the year under review, as compliance with the prescribed policies and procedures was lacking in the following areas: IT, project management, performance, process audits, ad hoc audits. So I just want to inquire if you have any plan in place to rectify this to ensure that in future you adhere to your own policies, because these are your own policies. Thank you, Chairperson.
Did you just refresh my memory on page 21 of the annual report? The allocation to Soul City and Wolfish Bay by 1.5 million and 256,000. Where does Wolfish Bay come in? Can you just refresh my memory? I think yes. Can we get the responses now, and then I'll come back to you.
Thank you, honourable members. I will ask my colleagues to assist in some of the areas, but I think maybe what I should do, Chair, is to deal with the burning question that has been cutting across around the targets and achievements. Chairperson, I think at the beginning the Deputy Minister gave a very broad highlight of what we have been doing during the course of the year in terms of our engagement with communities, in various programs that we deliver in the department.
part of the challenge in the public service is that it's an issue we've been grappling with. That's why earlier on I indicated that there's been acceptance of significant improvement by the AG in the manner in which we have complied with the broader framework for predetermined objectives. However, there are still some challenges because we are not like in the private sector where in a manufacturing environment you can count numbers in terms of quantities. We deal with service delivery, we deal with people, we impact on the lives of the people, or rather we touch the lives of the people. So to quantify that impact sometimes is not easy. So what usually happens is that if you look at the annual report, the way it's structured, it's got a narrative that speaks to what we have been doing during the course of the year. Then you've got the part that deals with, it's a table that deals with specific targets and specific outputs. That's where the biggest challenge comes in. In the past, we used to report on the detail of the amount of work that we have done during the course of the year. And the AG would come and say, no. All the things you are reporting on are not the things that were in your APP. So the way you structure the APP, which in fact you can't include everything in the APP if you look at how, for instance, service delivery departments like social development are designed. So a lot of work that goes in the operational, detailed operational plans of the department do not feature in these tables. If, for instance, you look at substance abuse, the work we've done in El Dorado Park, everything, you won't find it here. That is a significant portion of things that we do that you may not pick up in the annual report. And we are debating currently how do we bring together the two, that is the detailed operational plans and the APP, so that at the end, as we are obliged to report and account against the APPs, we don't lose the detailed amount of work and deliverables that we have achieved in the department in terms of the work that we do on a daily basis. So that is one of the problems, but there are other reasons which I will come to. If then you look at the targets versus the actuals, in some areas there are quite a glaring deviation, you know, more than 300% achievement, as the members have picked up. Colleagues will come to specifics, but at a broad level, we've also established that we need to find a perfect way of projecting the demand based on the current information that we have. What I mean by that, for instance, if you look at community mobilization or even things like food and nutrition, you may target that you're going to have engaged communities and you may have 500 people or 1,000 people teaching up. But because of the popularity of the program that you are running and also the interest, maybe you find people, 5,000 people teaching up. Effectively, you have touched 5,000 people as against a target of 1,000. Already, that gives you about 500% more than what you targeted. So these are the kind of realities in the work that we do. So we would probably say this is the target that you will have. But as we reach out to communities, you find that more and more, for instance, if it's youth, they're coming for youth mobilization programs and so forth, you find that kind of interest that is building up. And then as you go around the country, you find more and more people coming in. Hence, we usually come back to the committee in parliament and say, we want to shift money, you know, in terms of the environment, because we can see the demand is bigger than what we initially projected. However, let's admit that given what I've said, we still need to improve on targeting, how we set our target and also how we plan in terms of the annual performance plan vis-a-vis the detailed work that we do in the final analysis. Then in terms of the actual alignment of the actual budget spend as well as the outputs, given what I've said, then you will pick up that we continuously monitor expenditure and see where there is more need that we need to focus our resources to, but also looking at areas where there's slow moving of the expenditure. You know, prudent financial financial management therefore demands that you take a step halfway through the financial year, go back to Parliament and say, I would like to shift funds from here to there because of these reasons. Because we don't necessarily want money to be unspent while there is so much need out there. So we will come back to Parliament and say, we would like to shift this money to here and there. In terms of the turnover and staff financial personnel, yes, it's something we're very much always looking into. Because if you don't have the people and we don't have capacity, then we'll have serious challenges. However, the bulk of this money, if you look it up, we had serious challenge under program that deals with things program 3, that deals with the inspectorate, as picked up by the committee. When I came in, I actually made sure that we look into this thing. I contacted Treasury and I said, we need in this financial year, if you look at our APP this year, we said, let's put what we can deliver in these things. Because the targets that were put there in the previous financial year were unrealistic in a sense, in my view, because you need to do a detailed groundwork in establishing an institution like that. Our experience has taught us that we need to do a clear policy review, a clear consultation process. In fact, we will probably have to come to consult with parliamentary committees to look at the model vis-a-vis what was envisaged in 2004 in the Social Assistance Act when it was put together and the developments that we have experienced up to now. We've got so much oversight institutions, for instance. We know others were disbanded during the course of this period, but we are saying it's still critical for us to define, in terms of the SASSA Act, in terms of the Social Assistance Act, and in terms of what we want to have, what would be the role of this inspectorate in that legal context. In the legislation, if you go to that specific clause, it speaks about audits, it speaks about everything. You've got the AG, you've got SIU, you've got other units. So we are busy with that now. I must say that some of the personnel budget that was put in there for big structures that were already estimated to be filled, it was not possible because you cannot just jump into the structure. You must finalize first your strategy, and then once you have the strategy, you go to the structure. So we have now placed this responsibility under the DDG responsible for social security so that we ensure integration, and she has already started moving with the work around policy review and legislative review. We are in the process of filling the critical specialists that will be driving the work, as Chairperson, you were asking, on the inspectorate. So that is an area where we had a significant under achievement. But overall, one of the things in closing this discussion on this one, we have been engaging the AG, and we are pleased to know that it's not only our department, that if you have all the targets, the way in which it's audited now, even if you have 99% achievement, but if it's not 100%, the way it's written is that it's non-achieved. So it will not be taking into account that particular target was 99% achieved. It's reported as not achieved. And when you look at overall percentages, it may give a picture that work has not been done, but bulk of the work was done. As Mr. Buteles was indicating, 29% of the targets under achievement were actually partially achieved, those that were, it might be just an outstanding approval, but the guiding document or the policy document is finalized. And we had about 10% of those that we did not achieve. And again, I must emphasize that if you were to put weight in that, in some instances, something that is not achieved in the ATP carry a very, very minor weight, even budget size is a small budget, but in terms of statistics, in terms of number, counting how many you have achieved, you count so many have not been achieved vis-a-vis what has been achieved. I think I decided to spend more time there because I think it's critical in reading the annual report so that we have a clarity on this. The next question was on the relief fund. I don't want to spend much time, safe to say it is a matter we've been working on. We were hoping that we would push a piece of legislation this year through Parliament to deal with the consolidation of these relief funds so that we can close them down and create a new social relief fund. We were looking at some piece of legislation, Social Relief Act, whatever you call it. But it is not necessarily something we could do this year because of the constraints, as we all know that Parliament has got a very tight schedule this year and a very short period of time to deal with legislative processes. However, the funds as they sit now, it's difficult to utilize them anyhow because they are clearly defined under a certain piece of legislation, which is the Fundraising Act. And until we amend that, we'll be able to do that. We'll definitely prioritize this in the new year so that we get that piece of legislation through Parliament. Mr. Could add, if members have follow-up questions, Mr. Brenton Van Fieren and Brenda Sbeko. The target anti-substance abuse program in all 9 provinces, I will request Ms. Nomalo to assist me with that one. Problems with the supply chain, spending versus actual target. I think the spending we have dealt with. The supply chain management issues, as I indicated, yes, we are still putting strengthening mechanisms to make sure that our main focus now really is compliance issues so that we avoid irregular expenditure. But we definitely have been so far fortunate not to get to pick up serious corruption or fraudulent activities in the department. I think that record we've been able to maintain. In terms of the $1 billion underspent on grants, I will request the CEO of SASA to deal with that one. And then Ms. Honorable Kumalo raised an issue on jobs, 171,000 jobs, whether in fact these are sustainable jobs. You recall that as a sector, initially we were not part of the EPWP, but since we have joined, we have been actually one of the sectors that has been performing well, the social cluster sector. And our jobs are fairly sustainable in the sense that you're dealing with caregivers who are actually providing a range of services. For instance, if you look at ECD, you look at home community-based care. It's unlike in the construction industry where it's short period of time, maybe 2 years or 1 year construction. After that, those jobs are temporal and they are gone. So ours are fairly sustainable. Of course, in terms of what we pay, it's something that is still we are debating. So that, but we are doing the best to comply with the ministerial determination in terms of the minimum wage. I think Honorable Bula raised questions around the CPR, integration with Home Affairs. I think I've touched on the inspectorate registration of FBOs. If I may, I would like Connie also just to touch on those questions on the CPR. Mr. Lechipale might just quickly talk about the registration of non-profit organizations. Strengthening strategies to deal with taverns. Mr. Dango is here next to me. He'll be able to deal with that quickly. Veraments, I think I've explained. Safe to say, the monies that were allocated for Soul City were on the Kwanda talk. It's a project that was plighted on TV. Very, very important engagement with communities on social issues, especially the young people, but also looking at community development models that we can replicate elsewhere. We learn from this community what are they doing, what flagship projects that they have implemented to ensure that they build their own social capital and also improving their lives and try to share with the nation so that others can actually learn some lessons from it. It was a very important program. Walvis Bay, that relates to the monies that we are still paying to some old age pensioners who is through a 1994 agreement between the Namibian government and South African government. So I think it was just an additional increase based on the demand. I guess Ms. Peterson can also add if I'm leaving out something. Qualification for CARA funds. CARA is, as its name indicates, is the Criminal Asset Recovery Account. We were initially excluded in this fund. We struggled to fight for our own space there. And then we were given a hearing by Department of Justice and Cabinet, ultimately, because that money is supposed to be monies that are recovered from criminal activity and, you know, forfeiture of assets and stuff. So what then happened, we said, because we've got a victim empowerment program, we really have to be funded in order for us to assist in rolling out those programs. Obviously, when all applications come, we have a criteria, yes, of whether those applications comply with the requirements, but we cannot have everybody qualifying. There is a screening process, and some, unfortunately, will not be able to, not necessarily also that they all don't qualify, but because of the limited amount of funding that we were given. I think last day, if I recall well, we were given about 26 million rand. So it's not really a too much significant amount. Thank you very much. Can we start with Rain, then we can go down with colleagues. Thank you.
Thank you, colleagues. The intent to reduce the number of unlicensed taverns, also taverns that are operating in areas where there are schools or places of worship, is underway, and that is something that is being tackled through the Interministerial Committee but being implemented by the Department of Trade and Industry through the licensing regulations. There's quite a robust implementation plan in place to in fact deal with all unlicensed taverns, but also in work in rezoning, and that's across the country, to sort of develop zoning regulations about where you can have a tavern or not have a tavern. Some of this is disputed by the industry, so the zoning in particular is going to be a difficult one to fight, but the unlicensed tavern is a matter of just implementing existing law. The DTI is reporting on a regular basis back to the Interministerial Committee on progress around that. Chair Waller, I'll have the mic. Just to sort of put the indicator issue in perspective that the DG spoke about and your question about planning and targeting. If you just compare to the previous year, to 2011-2012, we achieved 118 out of 270. Which made 58% of achievement of our pre-procurement target. And I think that was a question of a combination of poor planning and poor application of implementing of our targets. I think in this year there was a conscious effort at getting the planning better and implementation better. So to the extent that 94 out of 54 targets achieved. So you have the 61% achievement rate in terms of 100%, and I think that's what the DG was saying. But then you also have out of the remaining 39%, 29% that were achieved near completion, in progress, were achieved today, which is meant that about 10% of our targets were not achieved at all in terms of the AG assessment. That makes it a combination of better planning and also better management of the implementation of work, which I think sits when the DG talks about achievement, I think that's what he's talking about. So I think your question is a fair one, but I think it is something that he's talking a lot about in the department. It's better indicators, better planning, and making sure that we do
Thank you, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. I will deal with the question of National Anti-Substance Abuse Program, why not Gauteng? I just want to indicate that all provinces are implementing the program of action and the anti-substance abuse program. The reason why specific provinces were selected is for basically support by the national office. So the other provinces are inviting us as when they need, but in terms of target, we identified weaker provinces for support in terms of training. That is why they are mentioned in the report. But however, it's important to note that we do have quarterly sessions with all provinces where they give feedback in terms of how they're doing in terms of implementation. The next question is the CARA, the criteria for funding. Just to add on what the DG has said, when we applied for funding, it was clear as to what is it exactly this fund is to do in terms of victim empowerment program. So the criteria was drawn up and approved by the JCPS cluster. That is why we put the advert. When we asked NGOs to apply, it was on advert and there were clear criteria and specifications to say you have to comply with 1, 2, 3 for you to qualify. Of course, when you advertise, you get a lot of applications. So we have to have a system of screening. So hence, out of the big number, we only have 71 that we took forward in terms of process. Either they were relevant in terms of what we asked for the fund to do, and also compliance in terms of the NPO registration. The other question was on the screening to say we set our target for 4,000, but at the end the achievement is 32,000. The screening, the 4,000 was set based on the baseline and we took an average. However, you don't have control of the number of employers and individuals who send inquiries because this is purely inquiries that people send just for them to know whether they are in the register or not so that they can be employed to work with children. I think we can do better in future in terms of looking at the numbers and just work around the correct targets. The other question was around the CPR. I just need to indicate that the 488 has not changed, that was forwarded to the committee around August. The 283 in the report, page 64, it was a cut off by March because this is an annual report up to March. But the figures of 488, they were overlapping beyond March. That is why it is higher. I think basically those were the key questions. I don't know if that's it.
It's me. Chair and members, thanks very much. I've got one question to go through. I think Honourable Bula asked the issue of the NPO registration. I think generally the registration of the non-profit organization historically is one of the human rights that the Constitution guarantees everyone the right freedom of association. We should mention that you register non-profit organization using the NPO Act and it's only done in Pretoria. So the approach that we do, each and every organization that want to be legal, to be able to access funds and recognize as a legal entity, needs to register with the NPO Directorate that is in Pretoria. What we have done along the years is to improve access to the services by ensuring that the province can support, as stated in the Act, that we can provide guidance and support for them to be able to register easily and so that they could understand what are the requirements in terms of registration. Provinces, all of them in 9 provinces, has got structures that does that even at a district level. Presently we are still registering all the NPOs in Pretoria. But I think moving forth, one of the things that we need to do is to ensure that there is a lot of support and capacity that is given to NPO at a local level so that they submit those the registration forms at a provincial level and then it will be processed through the national office. Thank you.
Honourable Chair, just would add a comment on the DG's comments regarding the repeal of the disaster and other funds. we have been, as you mentioned, going to and fro with this over many years, deciding whether social relief should be a provincial function or a national function. And there's discussions of consolidating all the funds into one fund. But at the moment, we're at the point where we actually realize these funds have been dormant for so many years. They haven't really served their purpose, and we really just want to repeal all of them. And then just touching on your question on the Defence Force Fund, now, they manage their fund completely independent of us, although it sits in the Fundraising Act. And one of the challenges of repealing the Fundraising Act means either we repeal the sections related to us and leave this one clause, an act with one clause that the Defence Fund will run, but we are busy talking to the Department of Defense in terms of whether they still need that fund, that they also have other funds that they could utilize and could then possibly repeal the entire Fundraising Act. In terms of disaster relief, SASA has more or less taken over the function of providing disaster relief through the Social Assistance Act. And that's the only fund that actually saw operation of the disaster relief fund. So there's no, at the end of this year, there shouldn't be a need for the disaster relief fund as well. And I doubt we will reappoint the board by the end of this year. In terms of the 2 million children that was raised, I think Brenda will answer the question more broadly about the billion rand the presumed billion rand underspending. But in terms of the 2 million children that was very commonly quoted, we've done quite a lot of analytical work on this ourselves, and the difficult part is of trying to, through various econometric inferences, to pinpoint the number like 2 billion rand based on income survey data. It's virtually impossible. So the chances of 2 million children still, it's really slim. I mean, our figures suggest it's more than 100, maybe 200,000 children. And both SASA and ourselves have done some work in the area, specifically 0 to 4, to try and understand this. And I suppose the CEO has promised at one stage that we'll share that work with the portfolio committee. But some of the interesting things that have come out of there is that we might be targeting the wrong areas. So, for example, there's a lot of urban areas where there's low uptake rather than the rural areas, and our ICROP strategy and so forth, there's logic in focusing on rural areas, and we might have to change strategies. But there's a lot of other reasons as well that's coming forth in terms of why the uptake is low.
Thanks, Chairperson. The question relating to the underspend of nearly 1 billion rand for the grant. I think it's important to clarify that the allocation for grants is always based on an estimation of what we think the numbers of grant beneficiaries are going to be. And we always predict. We estimate it based on income expenditure information, on population sizes, and the total number is based on an adding up of all the different types of grants that we think we're going to be having to provide. And if we reach a 99% expenditure, it's actually a reflection of the accuracy of our prediction, but it's a prediction, it's an estimation, it can never be 100% accurate. Of course, 1 billion rand is a lot of money that we would like to be able to allocate to people, and that depends to a large extent on us being able to obtain the kind of uptake that we estimate, and therefore the work that goes on around ICROP, around trying to identify those children who are not accessing the grant, is about getting closer and closer to the 100%, but it's still always an estimate, so it's nearly impossible really to 100% reach whatever that budget allocation is that is estimated. But of course, 1 billion rand is a lot of money that we'd like to be able to provide for those children. The other thing is we do not aim to be 100% accurate, because we prefer rather that if our estimations are slightly off, we should rather estimate conservatively to make sure that there's no child who comes to claim and does not get the money, because our estimation did not provide for that potential greater claim than what we estimate. So we always allow for a conservative estimation that says in case there's more than we predict, there's an allocation for them. So always we'll never be 100% accurate. But I think really if 99% expenditure reflects the closeness of our estimate.
Thank you very much, DG Chair. I think we must look at Social Security in terms of the annual growth trends over the past couple of years. It went from 5.2% to 7.5% in 2019 and then
6.2%, then dropped to 4.4% in 2011-12, and then 3.27%. So I think there were fluctuations in the growth that must always be taken into account. What we've had is the impact of re-registration. We must also understand that there was a weariness in the population as we sought to re-register. 150,000 people came to voluntary cancel. That's a very big impact, that people came through the door and said, take my card, I should not have been getting it. But also those in the wing were attempting to get it, and we were very conscious of that. So whilst the projections on set are the actual total at the time with the estimation, they are different. Treasury does, social development does, and SASA does projections. And we go, all of us go and we sit there, and Treasury then looks at it and gives us an amount. It also takes into account the increases that will be given that year. And even for this year, we've found that we saved the money. They were able to actually give an additional 10 rand from October. So all those things need to be taken into account when you do back pay, for example. Before, because SASA took more than 21 days, Treasury had to account for a certain amount of back pay on new grants being taken on, because you would be given it, say, over 45, and you would go into a new month, they'd give you extra money. SASA paid us 90% of its grants in 21 days, so we've saved things. So back pay, large amounts have reduced significantly in the last year. And all those things were part of the kind of spend in which SASA operated. So I think I actually predicted more than a billion. I'm just a bit sure. Because you could see it. If you were watching it monthly, you could see the trends with what we're working. I think we are getting to a better space. But I think the other thing we must say about what we've targeted, when I came here, there was a set of objectives for the next 3 years, how we were going to work. We had a ministerial change. We had certain things we should have come back and said things were going to change a little bit in the way we do our business. And I think that's possibly part of the mistake, because I found that even at SASA, where the work was done differently than it was before. If we, for example, didn't do re-registration, we would then every year do 500,000 files, and we would not have had the audit state we have now for the department. We would come next year. That's how it would have worked if we had stayed on that trajectory. But we turned it around and did the work differently, but should also have been adjusted our documentation. But we write in 3-year cycles when we plan, so that was part. In terms of Walfish Bay, quite quickly, because I was asked to deal with that, there's a bilateral agreement since 1994. All South Africans who were living at Walfish Bay at the time would be entitled to the benefits of the country. In fact, social development funds, an old age home there, and a creche. And we have 600 grantees in the Walfish Bay area, and that is the state. It is not a growing, it's more of a declining situation. Walfish, the Namibian government, because some of them are now taking dual citizenship, pays half literally of what we pay in terms of a pension to their people. It's a very small amount, as far as I'm concerned. But that is the state of Walfish Bay. In terms of the objective, if I look at the numbers that were stated, for example, for CSG, in our annual report, we're going to say we achieved 100%, but if you look at the projection targets between ourselves, there is a difference. We would have gone for 11.3 million, and I think DSG went for 11.4 million. So those are the things that actually happened. I think on the other benefits, we would be okay, except in one or two under recoveries, perhaps in the other targets. Care dependency targets, and I think granting aid with foster care was also an under recovery. I think those were the issues I was asked to deal with. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Professor.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. I think I forgot a question around registration of treatment centres in KZN. I know my colleague has spoken broadly about NPO registration, but I think the question was also requiring a response on specifics around treatment centers. Just to indicate that the registration of treatment centers is in terms of the legislation, and it is done, it is delegated to the provinces. So all provinces are required to do registration in terms of operationalization of treatment centers. Thank you.
I just have one concern in terms of the child protection register and Mrs. Marlowe's response, saying that the 438 people, the queries that you've processed in terms of the CPR was 438. That was for 2011, 2012, and then overlapping in 2012. That was May 2012. And that is like 1 month, because the presentation was made on the 8th of May, which is 1 month into the new financial year. What was the figure? If you don't have it here, I think you have to respond to the committee in writing. What was the figure for the 2011-2012 financial year? Because the figure for the 2012-2013 financial year is 283. Do you understand? Unless you say to us that the figure for 2011-2012 was 400. Because to me that would be a more realistic figure in terms of queries received. So can you check that and come back to us in writing in the later stage?
I think so, Chairperson, because when you deal with numbers, you always need verification of accuracy. Let's give you in writing.
Thank you very much. Honorable Kumalo?
Well, thanks. There's a few things, Chairperson, that I want to check if I heard you correctly from the DG. The stipend for the CCG, are they paid according to the ministerial wage determination? Is that part I want to understand? Stipend for CCGs, are they paid as per ministerial determination?
Well, we can also check. What I know now is about 66 rand a day, which has increased from 60 rand in terms of the ministerial determination. That converts to about 1,300 and something if you look at monthly. But how much we paying now?
We are paying all the stipend in terms of the ministerial determination. For all the CCGs that are providing home-based care services.
No, thank you very much, honourable members and Deputy Minister for Social Development and the team from Social Development. Next week we will be looking at that. Yes, and the NDA. And then we will interrogate the annual reports of those two entities more. But we welcome the fact that SASSA has actually they've done their own annual financial statements for the first time. And although you have a few hiccups, you're getting there. So the fact that you've used your own people, it's good without the help of consultants. But in this case, you've also proven today that you do need consultants from time to time if you don't have the expertise within any department or any entity. But that's a good move. I've also noted that your audit committee term is expiring. Is it the social development or SASA? Social development term, the audit committee's term is coming to an end, so you'll have to advertise. So we hope that you will advertise on time so that there's no lapses in terms of the audit committee. We're also thankful for the fact that you've taken heed of our committee's concern that the audit committee of SASSA and DST should meet on a regular basis. And I think the chairperson of the SASSA audit committee that is also sitting on the DST audit committee is sitting with SASSA. Okay. That is a very good practice. So we're glad about that integration. But thank you very much for that. I think it's very important, DG, that you provide the committee with a report on how you're going to address the voice that we've mentioned today and that you've agreed on in terms of your strategic plan and your strategic plan speaking to your operational plan. And even if it's, if you can just, even if it's in the form of a letter, you don't need to come and do a presentation, but just to put it on site, but to say this is how you're going to do it. That will be much appreciated. Thank you very much, Honourable Member. The meeting is adjourned.